Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. I have missed a few days. Again, thanks to Cole Thompson for filling in. But I've been missing the good, the bad, and the dumb, so I can't wait to get this started. What's the good of the day?
Well, you know, today's good, bad, the dumb. It's all sports related because there was a lot of good stuff. A lot of stuff that happened over the weekend.
Yes, there was.
So the good of the day is we got to start with the man, the myth, the legend, the now leader in the clubhouse of having the most tennis majors secured, and that's Rafa Nadal.
Rafa Nadal with the Australian Open.
Yep, a Novak Djokovic-less Open, which I think plays into this, but the 35-year-old still had to go out there and compete, and he did. And
wait,
he just kept winning.
He's 35 years old?
He's 35.
I feel like he's been around forever and ever and ever
But that's old in tennis.
Right, that's very old in tennis.
So if you didn't catch it because it was early Sunday morning or last Tuesday, whatever time frame it is from Australia, he won his 21st major. He had a rally from being two sets down to come back and win the final three sets, and it was a five-hour match.
Yeah, those matches are a long time. And he beat the villain, Daniel Medvedev, who was, like, always yelling at somebody.
Yeah.
All the time.
I mean, I don't know if Medvedev is more of a villain than Djokovic at this point.
Well, on court he is.
Yeah. I would say, you know, maybe it's like, you know.
I mean, no, he really
yelled. He's the Riddler to Djokovic's Joker.
He had his semifinal match. He ripped the chair umpire a new one and had to apologize afterwards. It was so bad. But he's been doing this all tournament. He's been getting, like, moments where he just screams at the line judge.
Trying to channel his inner John McEnroe?
Oh, my God. The one he did in the semifinals was, he called him scared. Like, is he afraid to make a call? And what are you doing here? You don't belong here. Like, this was rant.
I can get behind that.
You know, but imagine if the NFL, if that happened, like imagine if Tom Brady or somebody said to a referee, what are you even doing here? Like, you don't even belong on this field. Like, you don't even belong with this job.
Didn't Brady get flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Yeah, but he was pointing to his chin going, you missed this call.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Brady said, you don't deserve a job doing what you're doing.
You know? It's pointing to the blood on his face.
Exactly. Medvedev was like, Don't even exist. Like, you shouldn't even be here on Earth. Like, that's how bad it was. It was really bad. It was awful. Your parents should have never meant and had children. Ever.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of craziness that you get. But, yeah, Nadal. Now Djokovic is sitting somewhere in some house going, oh, well.
Yep.
I got to chase him now.
We've got to chase him down. But who knows if, I mean, it already looks like he might be out of the French Open before the French Open has even started.
Yeah, it's awful. This is going to be fun for the next couple of tournaments to see.
Yeah, maybe he gets the year off.
Djokovic can actually get into one of these things. Well, congratulations to Nadal. That was awesome. Glad he's still being at 35. Because when he starts having to drink the Metamucil and going to the old folks' home in the next couple of months,
you'll
remember this.
There's been a couple of videos surfacing around, like, you know, showing him, like, when he won his first major all the way up till now. And it's, you know, you can see how Father Time is catching up with him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'll be the next guy in for Hair Club for Men.
I know, right? Exactly.
You know, it's thinning. It's starting to happen, and you're looking at, like, oh, man, what happened? It's like when Andre Agassi decided to shave his head. We were all sitting there looking at it going, like, man, I remember this guy with the fire mullet, the spiky-haired mullet.
It's such an interesting athlete. Like, not, I want to say job, but, yeah, it's job, I guess. But it's such an interesting sport because you have to be young, really young, like 8, 9, and in the system.
Yeah.
Right? So you're really young. You're sort of in the junior system. So he's been traveling the world playing tennis for 20-plus years. Like, for 25 years, you would want to say, right? Since about 8, 9, and 10, playing in junior circuits, junior events, all of that. And that's all you do is fly all around the globe playing tennis constantly.
Yeah, it isn't. It literally, I don't think it's one of those things where he picks it up in college.
Right, right, right.
You know, maybe, or maybe he picked it up in high school and was able to earn a college scholarship. Like, you, very, I mean, maybe that's the problem with the U.S. too.
That's quite possible.
Is that, you know, we don't have those players in the youth system that are just going through. It's like, oh, well, you know, we'll grab this college player and then turn that one into a pro. And you're
can
like,
I be
that's
honest with
almost
you?
Too late.
You're a father of a baseball player,
yep.
Right? I mean, and I've been around the, you know, travel sports with my kids. There's always the kind of nutty parent that's like, my kid's got 8 coaches and we're taking him to an elite camp, and you roll your eyes. In Europe, that's not uncommon if you've got a very, very talented kid to pull him out of the school system.
Oh God.
Like to say, no, someone said my 6-year-old has got a killer backhand, and now we're never going to see him again. That's the way. Bye.
Listen,
off to whatever academy. Goodbye.
I mean, it's like that in tennis. It's like definitely like that in soccer.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you'll pull a...
It's totally common.
How many times have we kind of just scoffed at the idea, like Real Madrid signed a 9-year-old?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they didn't. Obviously, they're not going to put him on their premier team, their first team.
But
he's in the system now.
But here, if your neighbor said... Yeah, Johnny's going away for a while. He's 8, and he's going to a tennis school in Greece. You'd be like, call social services.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? Your kid is going overseas, but in other parts of the world, that's just what you do. Like that.
Yeah.
If your kid's got talent.
I guess what it was only
go bye bye.
It's only been acceptable in our lives with gymnastics. I feel like.
Yeah, with gymnastics. Yeah.
With gymnastics, yeah. You know, it's like you send them off to Bella Caroli's camp.
Right,
and
exactly.
They live there. And like, well, no, gymnastics, of course. They got to be young to do it.
That's how they do it. So, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day, sticking with the sports theme and international sports theme, is the U.S. men's national team. Now, listen, you know, first of all, I think they were done dirty because that game was literally opposite of Bengals-Chiefs. So, the two games simultaneously start at the same time. Now, this is World Cup qualifying. Team USA is ranked number 2.
Wait. Repeat that. There was a World Cup qualifying match that was scheduled at the same time.
At the same time.
As Chiefs-Bengals.
I mean, literally both started at 2 o'clock.
Come on.
And
like,
and here's the kicker. Both of them were CBS Sports broadcast. Now, U.S. men's national team, they got moved to Paramount Plus.
Oh.
But it was a CBS sports event, basically.
Can I just... I know you're on an international schedule and they don't care about American football.
They
don't get these in. I get it. But there is 2 weeks of nothing.
Yeah.
Like that is coming up. Like,
yeah, CONCACAF, like just kind
season,
of plan it out a little bit better.
Basketball and all-star break and hockey that's coming up. Like there is plenty of empty calendar dates for major events in the next 14
Or if you're CBS, maybe petition and say, hey, can we not have our game? Like if you're CBS, the network.
Right.
Can you know, make that petition and say, we'll throw in a few extra dollars if you could switch us with another game.
Just make
so
it
that way,
so,
you know, we'll have Bengals Chiefs play in its entirety, and then we'll just play the U.S. men's soccer afterwards and go
games,
up against Fox or whoever. I can't remember who had the game last night. Fox
these football
did.
Games get like 50, 60 million viewers.
Yes.
A game. This is one of the higher rated events of the year is these conference championship games. If you're trying, and again, it's still an uphill battle for the sport, you want to say, hey, look, guys, get behind U.S. men's soccer. Oh, you got to give up. No, we're not doing that.
So that was me on Sunday was having technology at the finest where, no.
Oh.
Bengals Chiefs on the main TV. Streaming
you brought in the second TV or laptop?
No, streaming on my phone from time to time.
I got you. Okay, well, that works. All right.
But, I mean, it leads into the other bad part of it is that the U.S. missed a golden opportunity to gain some points. Instead, they went out and lost 2-0 against Canada.
Tell me when, at some point down the road, tell me when the United States is going to be in trouble getting into the World Cup.
Well, I mean,
if that happens.
Okay, they have another game Wednesday. If they lose Wednesday, fortunately, that would have been troubling for them if they had, you know, since they did lose. But Mexico tied their game, so they kept their spot at second place.
Okay.
Top three after all these games, top three go on to the World Cup. So they're sitting pretty, but not by no means comfortable.
Okay.
They lose Wednesday, then you're looking at, okay, you know what, your next game after that, it's not until March, and you're playing Mexico in Mexico. You're probably going to lose that one.
Gotcha.
And then it's panic time. So hopefully they can win Wednesday and kind of have that calm feeling that, you know, if we lose against Mexico in Mexico, it'll be okay.
Okay, very good. All right, what's the dumb of the day then?
Oh, we all saw it. We all saw it. We didn't hear it. That was the problem on Sunday. The CBS halftime show, apparently those guys did not do a sound check beforehand. So if you saw everything but you didn't know what it sounded like, this is what it sounded like when the CBS halftime show broadcast crew came out to talk about the game that you were watching.
Rizin Halftime Report, the official 5-speed network of the NFL for Rizin. I'm James Pratt, along with
Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter, Walker Hayes.
Last week, he's got time filled, and he's burning them.
The question is, the answer is time. That's what Patrick Mahomes...
This was hysterical.
Nobody open, but he is able to move outside and find Tyreek Hill.
This was hysterical. I have no idea how this happened. I have no idea how CBS dumping millions and millions and millions of dollars to secure the rights to these games did not understand what the halftime show is going to be and what the logistical setup was. Isn't there somebody that is responsible for the set and is responsible for that area where those hosts are going to be so that they could say what exactly is going to go on and happen?
This is what it sounded like, right?
This is the Applebee's song by Walker Hayes that became a TikTok sensation. Now, by the way, a little background on this. This is a real song. This is a real song. Applebee's used it after they saw it blow up on TikTok. He wrote this with no connection to Applebee's at all. And then Applebee's said, oh, let's just use that as a commercial. And Walker Hayes said, why not?
Yeah.
And that's how it worked. So it's not
more
a
exposure.
Jingle. He wasn't doing jingles. He wrote this. If you don't know the song, it is about being broke and getting a little money and going to Applebee's. And that's like going out Ruth's Chris Steakhouse back in the old days when you were young.
It very easily could have been about Waffle House.
It could have been, yeah.
More, it's like, you know, Chili's.
It's like, you know, there's places in America where Applebee's, Chili's is a big deal going out to eat. Going out to eat. Like, it's big time in certain places of America. And that's the song he wrote about. And that's the song that was playing. And if you had any interest at all in a halftime show and then break, you got good luck because that's not what you got. And
you couldn't hear a single word they were saying.
If I'm the president of CBS Sports, I want answers. I want that entire crew back in New York City, and I want to know who did not know what was going on that field at halftime. Who did not ask?
I want to know who set up first.
Right.
Was the stage set up beforehand, and then they started wheeling out the speakers, and was there some guy going, you think this will be a problem?
Right. Well, that's the thing. Look, I, real quick, I have done high school basketball for a long time at various stages of my life. I've done high school games, high school basketball. Football is not mostly a big deal because there's a press box. But basketball, you go to some of these state arenas for high school basketball, and the high school, they go, can we put you over here? You're like, I need a plug, and I need electric, and sometimes I've needed like a fax line or whatever, like a line to plug into. And they'll go, can I put you over here? And one of my first question is, who's over here? Is the band, do you have a band that shows up? Is the cheerleaders over here? Like, you want to know that where you're located is somewhat secure sound-wise. It's not the best spot. You know, you're going to have a loud arena, but at the same time, you don't want to be behind the band while you're trying to do the game. They didn't ask Arrowhead Stadium what the halftime plan was. They didn't say, what are your logistics for halftime? What is occurring, and what are your logistics for it? And then Arrowhead would have said, we have Walker Hayes, and he's going to be here, and we're going to have speakers here, 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 and here. And then CBS just went, okay, so would it be okay if we set up our booth right behind a speaker? And they would have said, if you want. And CBS said, no, we actually like this idea. If we could set up our table right behind the speaker, that would work for us. And Arrowhead was like, are you sure? Like, no, trust us, we're professionals. And that's what you ended up getting. Yeah. Couldn't hear a thing.
I mean, maybe they were hoping that the mics would cut out like Ashanti's.
Yeah, maybe so.
Pre-game,
right?
She's singing the national anthem. And
then everybody sings it.
Then everyone sings it because her mic cuts out. Maybe they were hoping that same thing would happen. Surprise, you know, a stagehand or someone with the CBS crew just didn't go over and unplug this, you know, army crawled over there just like,
Oops, it unplugged.
I forget who it was, but somebody on the set said, it's a party in Kansas City.
I believe that was Jim Brown.
Okay, he's like, it's a party in Kansas. No, it wasn't a party in Kansas City. Your stupid setup crew put you right behind the speaker. Had nothing to do with the party in Kansas City or Walker Hayes.
Don't you wish
that? You could
that...
have done that somewhere else, some other location, but you were directly behind one of the speakers.
Now, don't you wish that cameras were still rolling as those guys were walking off set? Yeah, like, I wonder, Bill Cowher must have been mad.
I want to use a different word.
I could see the chin rising on Bill Cowher.
I bet all of them were. They sat there and prepared all of their notes, all of their talking points to get drowned out by a song about Bourbon Street steak and Oreo shakes. Seriously.
Yeah, Nate Burleson was saying this would never happen in Good Morning America,
exactly.
Whatever morning show he's on, CBS Mornings or whatever.
Oh, God. Two straws, one check, girl, I got you. See, I know that song. It's awful. All right, that's good, the bad and the dumb. We'll continue talking about Super Bowl 56. We've also got Jared Dubin coming up. We'll talk to him about what happened this weekend in the news of Tom Brady. Is he retired? Is he not retired? How is he controlling that narrative? We'll continue with that on Wake Up Call.